It's good to see each one of you here this morning. A warm Christian greetings to each one. I was blessed by being here. The songs that we sang, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." That last verse said, if you wait upon the Lord, have you waited upon the Lord this week? Life gets so busy, life gets a way of just getting us down. But have we stopped to see God? To see God for who he really is? Such a beautiful song because it says, if you wait upon God, he's going to renew your strength. It goes right along with the thoughts that I'm thinking this morning. I didn't realize how close my message was going to be running with the Sunday school lesson. I think you probably already heard the message this morning, but maybe we're just going to look at it in a different way. Maybe the things that were shared in Sunday school will just be reinstated in a different direction. I feel that God has led my thoughts this morning. I like what's on the front of the bulletin. I don't know how many of you even get the bulletin anymore. There's always bulletins back there at the door. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Anytime I hear that verse, I think of Brother Marvin. Because you had a devotional one time. It talked about the benefits of serving God. Never forgot it. I underlined it in my scripture, in my Bible. Who forgiveth? Here's the benefits. Here forgiveth. Who healeth? Who redeemeth, who crowneth, and who satisfieth. God does all these things for us, but we have to stop and take time to think about what God is doing for us this morning, or we get all wrapped up in what's happening around us. And if I get all wrapped up in what's happening around me, I'm going to feel discouraged. I'm going to feel down. I'm going to feel blue. I'm going to feel like life doesn't have a purpose. And I'm going to wonder, what's the even reason to get up in front and preach anymore? But bless the Lord, O my soul. Just stop and think about what God has done for you this morning. And that's where I want to take your minds. To the Heavenly Father that is guiding each one of our lives this morning. The title of my sermon is Adoration Toward My Shepherd. And I'm going to take my thoughts out of Psalm 23. I've been wanting to preach out of Psalm 23. It's such a familiar psalm that we tend to miss it. We think that Psalm 23 is a psalm that is shared at a death, at a passing. And I was just reinstated by that because I was just given this card of a man that passed away this past week. It's a funeral card. And it had Psalm 23 printed right here inside the front cover. And I was just handed to this, and I was just like, Psalm 23 is a good psalm to read at a time of death to comfort our hearts. But we're facing life this morning. We're facing real life. We're facing the discouraging things of life. We're facing things that rock us sometime. And Psalm 23 is for you this morning. Psalm 23 is for that person that is struggling and wondering, where is God? There's a lot of people that have turned to Psalm 23 and found encouragement to face life. To face life, it's a way that we can replace stress with joy. It's a way that we can replace fear with confidence. It's a psalm of David. We know that. And David was a man that tended sheep. He was very familiar with being a shepherd. And he would sit there on the hillsides and he would watch his sheep. And I just could let my imagination run of what David would have experienced all those nights. When it got dark out and he would look up into the stars and he would think about the great God that he is serving. It was just him out there. He had that time to meditate. And I tend to think that meditation is something we are losing in the world that we live. David's mind was free from the distractions. David had time to think. He would sit there. It was just him and his sheep. And he would watch those sheep. And he would say, you know, those sheep act just like a bunch of people. Those sheep act like I do sometimes. And maybe he watched those sheep run into another sheep. Maybe they fought over a piece of beautiful piece of green grass, and David just laughed at him and said, "Come on, sheep. There's plenty for everyone here this morning." See, there's so many lessons to learn from this psalm. This morning, I'd like to take some time for some quiet meditation, to think about God this morning. I don't expect this to be a heavy sermon. This is something I just want to draw your minds to our Heavenly Father that cares about you, that cares about me, that cares about what we're going through, that cares for us as the apple of His eye. I didn't know we were going to be looking at that verse this morning. But we're so important to Him, and He is so interested in your life, in what you're going through, and what you're facing this week. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I'm going to spend the majority of our time this morning just talking about the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd this morning. I like my shepherd. He's a really good shepherd. And I just want your hearts to be thrilled with the shepherd that is leading your life. I would like to stand this morning and just simply read the psalm in unison together. I'd like you to read it with expression, thinking about that the Lord is my shepherd and that He is leading our life. You probably know it from memory, and that's okay. But I want you to think about the words that you are reading. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated. Did you take notice to the personal touch that this psalm has? It says, "me." It says, "I." It says, "my." It says, "mine." I should have asked you to count as you read. 17 times in this short psalm, he's talking about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. And you can go right down through there. It is a very personal psalm. That as David wrote that, his heart was just swelling up in praise for his shepherd. Now, I had to think just a little bit. How old do you think David was when he wrote this psalm? And I used to think of a young shepherd boy out in the hillside, like one of our youth. But you know, this psalm just resonates with a man that has faced life, that has faced some disappointments of life. And I just wonder, we don't know, what the situation was where David sat down and he began to write, "The Lord is my shepherd." As I've already said, adoration for who this shepherd is. Just stop and think about it. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. The man that loves each one of us, that is gentle, that cares, that has love, that has compassion. Stop and take time to think about that. When you're feeling down and out about life, just take time to stop and think about who your shepherd really is. The man that cares for you. The man that is watching you. That cares about your very thoughts and what you're going through. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but life, after a bit, becomes just ho-drum. Is that the right word? We read our scriptures, we pray, we just go throughout life, but we really forget about who God really is. We cease to be amazed. We cease to take time to actually stop and consider who God is. At some point, I must personally and intimately know Jesus as my shepherd. If I don't have that kind of relationship, it's just going to be another book. And if I don't have that kind of relationship with my shepherd, this book is going to mean nothing to me. It's going to be a chore to read God's word because I don't care. There's a lot of I don't care Christians in this world that this is just, the Bible is just another book. It lays on the shelf until you need it. Let us love our shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? The question is this morning. There was once a Shakespearean actor who was known far and wide for his one-man show of recitations from the classics. He would always end his performance with a dramatic reading of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, the actor would begin reading, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The crowd would pay close attention and at the end would rise in thunderous applause in appreciation for the actor's incredible ability to bring these verses to light. But one night, just before the actor was to offer his customary reading of Psalm 23, a young man spoke up and said, "Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? The actor was taken back by this unusual request. However, he allowed the young man to come forward, knowing that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own talent. With a soft voice, the young man began to recite Psalm 23. When he finished, there was no applause. Unlike other nights, there was no standing ovation. There was silence. The audience had been so moved by the young man's recitation that every eye was full of tears. Amazed by this, the actor said to the youth, "I don't understand. I've been performing Psalm 23 for years. I have a lifetime of training and experience, but I have never been able to move the audience as you have moved them tonight. Tell me, what is your secret?" The young man replied, "Well, sir, you know the psalm. I know the shepherd." It makes all the difference. Do you know the shepherd this morning? If you want to know the shepherd, you must first make the shepherd Lord of your life. It's not enough just to know the shepherd. But if you know the shepherd in a real way, if you're going to allow this shepherd to lead your life, you have to know him as Lord of your life. For the shepherd to be a Lord, he has to be in charge. And when you think of someone being in charge, you think of someone that's the CEO of a company. It's that person that has the last word. He's the boss. He's the chairman of the board. He's the one that's calling the shots. Is that the Lord, the shepherd? How much do you admire your shepherd this morning? I don't know much about sheep. I've never been a shepherd. But I like to watch farmers with cows. And I wish we had a lot of farmers here this morning. We don't. But years ago, we used to work for farmers. And it was always fun to get on their farms and watch how a farmer related around the cows. Some cows were jumpy. You'd walk in, they would kick. They were scrawny. The next old man loved his cows. I can still in my mind see an old farmer. We were going to work in his barn. He had to get those cows out of there. And he got a bucket of feed. And his sing-songy voice said, "Come on, cows." And down across the pasture he went, and those cows followed him single file, one after another. They loved their farmer. They wanted to be around him. I've seen farmers try to move their cows, and they can't get them to go anywhere. I've always wondered what makes the difference. How much do you admire your shepherd? The one that's leading you. Do you secretly look around and say, "I wish someone else was my shepherd"? God forbid that we would think such a thought. Has God ever left you down? Has God never led you? Has God ever led you astray? Do you trust his leadership? Does the shepherd, this great shepherd, does he know anything about life? Can you follow him? The shepherd says, David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this morning, we could put my name in there, and I could say, "The Lord is Vernon Shepherd. I love my shepherd. I want to follow him." But is this shepherd trustworthy? He is. Can you trust him? Absolutely. Has he ever got you lost? No. When I think of getting lost, I have to think of when I was a youth. I went to course. And we went to a program in London, Lancaster, somewhere. And I took this one young man along. He was your age, you youth sitting there. And he said, I know the way. I said, good, because I don't. If you know me very well, I'm not good at directions. So we were getting close, and I said, so we need to turn somewhere. Where are we turning? Well, I'm not sure. I think might be the next road. So we get there. Don't look right. Let's go to the next road. Nah, don't look. Finally, I was like, do you know where you're going? Well, it's somewhere around here. I know it's somewhere, but where? How? That's not our shepherd. Our shepherd says, go here. This is the path. Walk here. Stay off this path. Don't go there. You're going to get hurt. There's snakes up there. Don't go there. This trail here is a little muddy, but you'll be fine. Follow me. That's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Turn with me to John 10. The passage of the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 14, says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I just love that picture of that good shepherd watching his sheep, watching them, knowing what they're going through. Are you okay with that good shepherd watching your life and guiding you? We need to be. If this good shepherd is going to be Lord of my life, there's three words here I'd like to pick out. And that's verse 14. I am know. I need to know. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. We need to know our shepherd. The second word is they hear my voice. And the third word is they follow me. Do we know Jesus this morning? And we already talked about that we take time to know our shepherd. Do we know him in a real way? Do we know? Not just Psalm 23, but we know the shepherd. We know him personally. There's only one way you're going to learn knowing personally, and that is if you spend time with him. You need to spend time with Jesus every day. The more you get to learn to know the shepherd, the more you'll know what he wants. The more you'll know what his dislikes are. I always like to say, do you know me? Do you know me personally? Do you know my likes? Do you know my dislikes? Do you know me more than just standing up here Sunday morning? See, the more you work with me, the more you talk to me, the more you're going to realize who Vernon Shank truly is. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. The more you talk to him, the more you try to understand him, you're going to understand who he truly is. Secondly, do we listen to Jesus? We hear his voice, as in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And there again, there's only one way to hear the words of Jesus, and that is by service like this. As we dig into the scriptures and as we study God's word, as we have Sunday school, as we pray, as we open up our lives to him, we hear what Jesus wants. And finally, if we know him and if we hear him, we're going to follow him. We're not going to turn around and run the other direction. We're going to follow him. We're putting Jesus in control. He's boss of my life. He's the one that has the last say. What he says, I will do. What does following Jesus cost you this morning? What do you gain by following Jesus? Is it worth it? Some questions I want you to stop and consider. I have here a story for the children. A story about Humphrey the whale. This is a true story. Might even be in our school library, I'm not sure. But Humphrey the whale first caught the nation's attention in 1985 when he took a detour and swam into the San Francisco Bay. But he didn't stop there. He swam right up the Sacramento River and into the port of Sacramento, a dead end. While he now had his own private swimming hole with loads of spectators clamoring for a glimpse of him, he was in dangerous water. Fresh water deteriorates a whale's skin, and there were no krill or other suitable foods for a humpback whale like Humphrey. If he didn't make it back to the ocean, Humphrey the whale would die. Dozens of government agencies and nonprofit organizations jumped into action to rescue Humphrey. They tried a variety of methods, including banging loud objects behind him in a vain attempt to drive him back to sea. But nothing worked, as well as leading him from the front with the sounds of whale songs. It was Humphrey's choice whether to follow the sound. Fortunately, Humphrey followed the sounds and was led to freedom, back past the Golden Gate Bridge to the Pacific Ocean. Just like Humphrey, we too drift into dangerous waters. We lose track of our surroundings and get carried along with the tide. We get lost. We can't survive long without a Savior. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." That's the good shepherd in John 10 talks about, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow." Are we following this morning? See, Humphrey the whale, if he wouldn't have followed, he would have died. And that truth is the same for us this morning. Our shepherd knows best. And he's out in front and he's leading with his voice. It's that voice of the shepherd. Are we hearing it? Jesus doesn't come behind us banging a bunch of noise, trying to scare us into action. He simply walks out front and he says, "Follow me. I'll guide you. I know where I'm going." Do we realize the greatness of our shepherd? I already talked about looking up into the heavens and meditating on the work of his fingers. Such a great God, somebody that created this universe. When I think about that, I see my own smallness and insignificance. When I'm providing for the little details of my life, I realize I need God's constant care. Too many times, I'm not impressed with God's greatness because I have other greatnesses in my life. Sometimes I want to be in control. Sometimes I don't even want to listen to the leader. Sometimes I don't even want to do what he says. That doesn't bring blessing. We just lose the greatness of our leader, the great shepherd, when I want to do it myself. What a shepherd we have. The second part says, "I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What kind of wants do you have this morning? We like to discuss it on the job. You know, what do you really want? Well, I want all kinds of things. You know, I just, every time I see a new truck, I just wish I had one. I could really, you know, it makes me think about how old mine is. When I walk into my living room and sit on my sofas, I realize they were 20 years old when I got them. I really could use new sofas. I walked in my refrigerator and the shelves are broke. The door's falling apart. And Lowe's has new ones and are beautiful. Oh, and a nice bagger for my lawnmower would be nice. Picking up them leaves, I could save time. And if I had a new bicycle, I could go riding this afternoon with the youth. And the list just goes on and on. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What did he really mean by that? Did he not have anything in his life that he wanted? We could say, well, David lived in a mansion. Well, he did, but guess what? After he slew Goliath, he did. He lived in a mansion. He lived in the palace, and he had all the fine things. He was friends with the prince, his best friend. What more could David want? Until the king became suspicious and tried to murder him. And then he started to flee. He started to live in caves. He went from palaces to caves. He went from banquets to scraps of food. He went from riches to rags. And David writes, "I shall not want." What is that secret that David knew about this? See, I think David understood the deeper things of life. He was thinking about things that really matter. Does a new truck mean anything in this life? Does it really matter? No. Does a bagger on my lawnmower matter? No. Not when it's compared to time and eternity. Not when it's compared to my deepest soul's desires. David was speaking about things of the soul, things that make our life full. He wasn't speaking about palaces and banquets, vacations in the Smoky Mountains. That was not what David was talking about. As nice as they are, they're just material things. It was brought out in our Sunday school. Someone shared a verse from Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I like that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God, and it's going to take care of all these silly wants that a man of this world could dream up. But following God, but following the Good Shepherd, brings fulfillment. "And truly, I shall not want. I will never lack green pastures where God will fill us with love, joy, and peace and transform us. I will never lack guidance to travel right paths to places where I can experience God's power. I will never lack God's protection or be sure to encourage or confident. I will never lack God's blessing, his goodness, or his love. I will never lack the presence of God. He's always with me." And we, along with David, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want." I have a question for you I want you to stop and think about. If you look at your investments of time, energy, and finances, do they suggest you want God more than things, or things more than God? If you stop and think about your investments of time, energy, and finances, do they suggest you want God more than things, or things more than God? David says, "I shall not want." Because he was burning out for God. He was following his shepherd, and the things of this world grew strangely dim. It wasn't necessary anymore for the fulfillment of his life. It's so easy to focus on the wants, the things that I think that will bring fulfillment. And I would just like to, a simple practice that God has given to us to go from my wants, to shift my priorities from my wants, is thankfulness. And you begin to be thankful for what you have. You begin to count all the blessings that God has done in your life. It helps take our mind off of what we think we want. Thankfulness shifts our focus from our wants to God, who provides for our needs. Through thankfulness, God can transform this old selfish man. And I begin to count my blessings and to see there's other needs around me. It might be a good idea to just take time to write down the things you are thankful for. It's one thing to go through them in our minds, but to write them down. And then to pray about that and to thank God for the many blessings that he has given to us. It helps us to be satisfied. I shall not want. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What kind of a word picture do you get here? Of a green pasture. Green pastures wasn't the natural landscape of their climate. They had deserts. They had scrub brush. They had probably cactuses and thorns and briars, I don't know what. But not beautiful green grass. Not beautiful green pastures as we picture them. To get a green pasture took a lot of work. David had to go out there and clear the land. He maybe had to provide some irrigation so that that green pasture would grow. David's really saying here, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." He says, "My shepherd makes me to lie down in his finished work." See, Jesus went before us and he made it possible that we could have the green pastures. He shed his blood. He gave his life. And Jesus invites us to rest in his green pastures. What a contrast. See, Jesus knows his sheep. He knows you this morning. If you're following, if you're claiming the Lord as your shepherd, he knows you. He's watching you. And he knows that you're tired. I see a lot of tired people this morning. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe we're just cramming our schedules way too full. How many times do we collapse into our beds at the end of a day thinking, I didn't live life with much purpose today. I'm just exhausted. Life just goes on and on and on. And Jesus knows that. The good shepherd says, you've got to rest. He says he makes you lie down. I almost get the picture here of a sheep that doesn't want to lie down. And the shepherd says, you've got to stop. You need to rest. You're tired. And he takes his rod and he lays on that sheep and he lies down. The Lord has these green pastures for his people to rest. And God doesn't want us to work till we're wore out, that we don't even have time to meditate on who our shepherd is. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's the principle that God has laid out from the beginning of time. You work 6 days and you rest the next day. We say, well, we're going to go to church. But it's a day of rest. It's a day to stop and to consider who our Maker truly is. Matthew 6, verse 30 says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. We have here disciples that were tired. They didn't even have time for lunch. They were wore out. And Jesus looked at them and he said, you're working too much. Come apart. Just come with me. Let's go to these green pastures and find rest for your souls. This isn't about vacation time. It might be. But this is about a time of just quiet meditation with a good shepherd. Too many times, I already said, we're losing meditation. I am. I'm filling up all my time with something. If I have any available minutes left, I pull my smartphone out and I begin to fill up the time. There's always something to read. There's an email to read. There's always something to do. And it's beginning to affect me. And I think it's beginning to affect you. We don't have time to even ponder who God is anymore. My life is full and overflowing, and I'm trying to cram more in. And Jesus is saying, come rest. Take time to put away all those things that bog you down, and just come rest with me in the green pastures. Are you ready to be refreshed this morning? Is that your desire? Time in our busy schedules to stop and to think about God. Spending time throughout the day. Praying. Realizing that God is in control. Not being so busy that we don't have time to meet someone else's needs. Taking time to see the hurting people around us. It was said in Sunday school this morning, we are like dusty plants. And we need that refreshing rain that comes from God's word, that refreshes this soul. That's why we need green pastures. That's why we need time alone with God. That's why we need our souls restored. Because this old man gets filthy. I need God's word to cleanse me. I need to take time every day. And when he cleanses me, then my life can begin to be a blessing to others and can be a blessing to those around me. It's a chance to restart. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I'd like to look at the phrase, he restores my soul. Years ago, when I was working on the job, I all of a sudden began to get a sore neck. And my neck began to get sore and sore, and that muscle jawed up, and I started to walk with a kink neck, and I was walking around like this, and I couldn't straighten it up. It hurt so bad. My dad said, "You're going to the chiropractor." And I said, "I'm not. I'm fine. I'm walking around like this. It'll get over it." Finally, he said, "You are going to the chiropractor." And I said, "Okay," because it was hurting. And I went to the chiropractor, and he looked at me, and he said, "Well, that's strange. I mean, he massaged that muscle. I mean, it hurts so bad." And I remember he messed around a while. He massaged it, and he just said, "Well, you must have got a cold in your muscle. I don't know what such a thing." And he said it drawled up, and he tried to get it to release, and it wouldn't. And finally, he said, he started to check me out a little bit farther, and he said, "You know, your hips are out of line." I thought, "You're right. My neck hurts, not my hips." But he adjusted me, and the pain left immediately. I walked out of there with my head held straight. See, my hips were out of line, and there was a friction. And it caused my neck to draw up. Our lives are like that. There's many a times when there's something out of whack in my life, you can see the results in another area. And sometimes I say, "No, it's my neck. You don't know what you're talking about. I have a neck problem." And it's not your neck at all. My soul is dried up. I don't have it. I need the nourishment from God. I need to be spending time with Him. I need Him to restore my soul. I need an adjustment with the Lord Jesus Christ to get my life back in order. And once my life gets back in order, then I can hold my head up straight. I can see again. I can live a pain-free life. Friction points that can show up in my life can show up as stress and anxiety, unexplainable fear, feelings of failure, feelings of boredom, feelings of emptiness. And I would challenge you that when you're feeling that way, that you would take time with your heavenly shepherd, the good shepherd that knows your life, that knows my life, that knows what I need, that we would allow Him to restore us. It's easy to think, "I'll just put up with it. I don't know why I have all these problems. It'll go away." But the needs of my soul will never go away. And it will continue to affect my life. Only until I allow the great shepherd to guide me, to restore me, can I have the peace in my life. When we have those times of the green pastures, of the restoration that God can do in my life, we feel recharged. We feel refreshed. We feel like we're ready to go again. And that is what our shepherd wants to do for us. That's what he wants to do for his sheep. He wants them to be healthy sheep, happy sheep, ready to follow our shepherd wherever he leads. How do you find your shepherd this morning? I hope the discussion we had this morning helps you to appreciate, to stop and to think about who your good shepherd really is, what he does for you, what he does for me, and may he change your life and give you strength for this coming week. And strength for whatever he brings into your life. Let us kneel for prayer.